You're listening to The Takeout.
What you're really listening to is your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett, your host, joined as I always am by Steve Shigaris, political editor of CBS News and the world's greatest podcast sidekick. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Major.
We are coming to you from Cannon House Office Building 317, which is where Congressman Will Hurd runs his work on behalf of his constituents in the 23rd District of Texas. Congressman, thank you so much for your hospitality. It's been great to join you. We came across kind of a story in Texas that you may be familiar with. As we've been in your office, we have been having breakfast and enjoying actual takeout. For those of you who have criticized us for not having enough takeout and the takeout, we had takeout today from Republic Kolache. And the story we came across, Congressman, is about a low-level but kind of serious and passionate taco war between Austin and San Antonio. Let's listen to more about that taco war. A little-known civil war broke out in the Lone Star State last February. It started with an article in Austin Eater, a food magazine in Texas. It proclaimed Austin, quote, home of the breakfast taco. Well, tell that to San Antonio, home of the Alamo, and proud of its breakfast taco pedigree.
San Antonio is the capital of tacos. I don't care what anybody says, I challenge everybody. Come on.
The war raged, as these things tend to do, on internet comment sections. One said, just because hip kids found the taco a few days ago does not mean Austin owns the taco. The comments spawned more comments. Breakfast tacos have been around since before there even was an Austin, one commenter wrote. It was a staple in Mexico City diets before Texas won independence. Austin is named after Stephen F. Austin, the father of Texas. This struggle over Texas history and food culture was real. Passions flared. Two great American cities separated by the most important meal of the day. How to settle the great breakfast taco brouhaha? Only a peace summit would suffice.
We're here today to settle this war.
Austin Mayor Steve Adler.
But when I look at these breakfast tacos, I feel a hope and a renewed friendship between our cities. There is more that unites our tacos than divides them.
San Antonio Mayor Ivy Taylor.
I would like to offer San Antonio taco to you as well as we sign this agreement. And then, in furtherance of our continued good relations, I also brought some kielbasa so that you and your wife can make some great tacos at home.
Alas, both mayors signed the Interstate 35 Taco Accord, and there was peace in Southern Texas.
Still peace in Southern Texas, Congressman? And, wow, the Interstate 35 Taco Accord. Not exactly up there with the founding of the United Nations, but kind of close.
Well, I feel like y'all are trying to re-instigate this battle, and any further comments would be in violation of the Taco Accord. So.
We're treading on the demilitarized zone of breakfast tacos, are we not?
Yeah, we are. We are.
But this is a settled issue, and you're not going to...
We can't reanimate it.
Reanimate
right?
it. Exactly.
But as a native San Antonian, whenever I eat breakfast tacos, I generally prefer San Antonians. So,
I can just say, as someone who grew up in San Diego, a fish taco is also very good for breakfast. I'll just say that.
Well, I'm just going to say, as somebody who grew up in Massachusetts, this is all so foreign to me. Tacos were a fight between Chi-Chi's and Taco Bell. So,
well, I thought Major was going to say something offensive, like say a breakfast burrito. You Californians.
Do not go there, Congress. I'm telling you right now. Do not get on the California, Texas. No. Don't tread. No.
So, like I said, I think the burrito versus the breakfast burrito versus breakfast taco war is that something that may need to be fought.
I guess so. Let's talk about your life in the CIA. First thing I want to, because we want to light this up a little bit, because this is the fun part of our conversation with whoever our guest is each and every week. So, as someone who was an operator within the CIA, have you ever seen a movie that you thought in any way actually captured what some of the work is and some of the realities? It can't be 100% right, but are there some that are close?
Argo.
Okay.
Argo is a good that case, in that what happened in Iran is a case study that many young case officers review.
Seriously?
And look at. No, absolutely. And so with the exception of the drama at the end, because the reality is they slipped out of town. It was pretty accurate on the kinds of things that have to happen. When you look at one of the things that rarely is in movies is my number one job was the protection of the asset. The person that was giving us information, the person that was risking their his or her life to help inform the United States government, my number one job was protecting that person. And a lot of times in movies, you see a cavalier relationship between the officer and the asset. And that was something that does not exist. That was my number one goal. And that is something that you rarely see.
Any particularly good books on this subject?
Hank Crumpton has a book called The Art of Intelligence that talks about what it is like to be a case officer, someone in the National Clandestine Service, and folks that are always interested in, you know, possibly going in the CIA. It was the best job on the planet, right? It was to be able to
next
work
next to running
on
a podcast.
Exactly.
or making breakfast tacos.
Right, right. Exactly.
It was to be able to serve your country in exciting places, to deal with the most important national security issues of the day, was awesome. And I tell folks that are interested in going to the CIA, first question, do you want to live overseas? And the answer is yes. The second question is, are you okay living in some crummy places the first couple years of your life or your career? And the answer is yes. Then read Hank Crumpton's book, called The Art of Intelligence, to understand what the trade really is like.
So when you were in Afghanistan, what were your experiences there? And on that score, keep that answer sort of short because there's a much bigger question, and this is a little bit heavy, but there was a lot of analysis in the last couple of weeks that 16 years in Afghanistan, this is still not going well, mm-hmm. that the trend lines are negative. The government remains divided, corrupt, and prey to reanimated and re-energized Taliban forces. Where do you think we are in Afghanistan?
So I joined the CIA prior to 9/11, and I was the fourth employee in the unit that ended up prosecuting the war in Afghanistan following 9/11. And what's unfortunate is the provinces that are in conflict with the Taliban is probably larger than it was back when I first started dealing with this issue, which is a problem. But there is a silver lining in all this. 1 million girls are in school today, and there were zero 16 years ago, right? That is what's going to ultimately transform that country, is the education of their women and girls. What we need to do is we need to be focused on the Taliban as well as the other terrorist organizations there like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. We also need to continue to work with the Air Force, with the Afghan military, and help them develop a proper Air Force in order to have air superiority against the Taliban. You do that, you're going to change that country.
Back to the lighter side of things. So you've mentioned in our conversation, 10.5 hours across your very large congressional district, one of the largest in the country, and the largest in any given state that's not an at-large district. So if you're driving, what are you listening to? What is the music you like to listen to that helps you get across your congressional district?
Well, my staff, we have a good 23rd playlist. That's like every song, mostly country western songs,
okay,
about the 23rd. I'm on Spotify. I have a thing on Spotify, so you can check it out. Heard on the Hill is my handle, H-U-R-D on the Hill. And there's a Texas 23rd playlist. I like all kinds of music. I love, you know, 90s R&B. That's something that gets me going. And
name
usually,
some artists.
Guy... Belle Biv DeVoe, mm-hmm. SWV is a song that came on recently. I hadn't heard in like 12 years, and was like, that's a pretty good song. But I also listen, Robert Earl Keane, is a great, he's a fellow Aggie. I went to Texas A&M. His song, I Gotta Go, is my favorite song in the world. I listen to it every morning. I always listen to it before I start a road trip. And any road trip without Willie Nelson is not a road trip. And so,
well,
so that puts you in the right frame of mind. So it depends. And also depends on who's driving. So I have a rule. Whoever's driving gets to decide what music they listen to. So, you know, depending on who's
how much driving
in
do
the
you
car,
do?
I do a lot. You know, safety is important. And when you're driving long distances, and oftentimes I'm in a car for 6 or 7 hours a day, I want to make sure we break up the monotony. And so I play my part, and I enjoy driving. That's one of the things I love about this district is crisscrossing it. So I do several hours.
That is the voice of Will Hurd. He's been our guest for episode 15 of The Takeout. We have done it from his own congressional office, Cannon House Office Building 317 on Capitol Hill. Congressman, thanks for your time. Thanks for your hospitality. We enjoyed very much for breakfast this episode of The Takeout. Breakfast tacos from Republic Kolache and some kolaches as well. A very, very good breakfast, Steve. I think you would agree.
Satisfied. So satisfied.
So satisfied. You have been listening
well,
to...
Garrett ate five of them, so...
Otherwise
they
known
must
as Major,
have been good.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
sorry.
I did plow through five of them. They were very good. Very good. This has been your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. Join us every Friday for episodes of The Takeout. And one other thing, just remember, folks, you'll be listening this week to Open Mic, which we're going to do at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Lots of conversations with lots of fascinating people. So extra content for you this week in addition to your Tuesday Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett. You're listening to The Takeout.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Farhi, Nick Feynman, and CBS Radio News. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and visit takeoutpodcast.com for more information.
Look, because if you hurt your knee, honestly, I'd rather have the federal government focused on North Korea, focused on other things than your knee, okay? Or than your back, as important as your back is. I would much rather see the federal government focused on other things.